What else has been making the news this week? Actually, technologically, there was a story around, and I'm just trying to find it here this week, because we're going to talk with Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective, about that story. About the New Year's honours list, of course, details, embarrassingly through a data breach, details of people who were on that honours list were leaked. And that story made the BBC and other broadcasters during this week. And also, I mean, that's one technical story, but this one is something that appeared and then disappeared on a news website this week, mysteriously. But the story has been around in recent years. Experts keep predicting that we are getting closer to the so-called singularity. The article is not available now, this particular article that I saw, but other articles from previous years, going back to about 2016, have been predicting for the last few years that we are three decades or thereabouts from the singularity, the point at which AI and humans, in their abilities, match each other. Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective, knows all about this. Fevzi, thank you for coming on.
Good evening. Happy New Year.
Still. Happy New Year to you. did you, just before we talk about the singularity, which is a fascinating thing, this story about the data breach that led to the leaking of details of people on the New Year's honours list, were you following that? Did you see that?
Yeah, no, I saw the story, yeah.
And how is it possible for something like that to happen?
It's possible because human beings were responsible for creating the file that was uploaded and it wasn't properly checked. If it was on the spreadsheet, there may easily have been, you know, on the spreadsheet you can hide columns. It may have been as simple as someone hid the columns and someone didn't notice there were hidden columns and then it appeared. Or it could just be no one checked it. But you would have thought that with that sort of information that there should be processes in place to make sure that things are double and even triple checked before they're published. Personal information like that is, you know, that could lead to loss of life.
But we've discussed this before in other contexts, that these days you have to regard, you know, most portals that you give information to as possibly one day being leaky. It's going to happen.
But I guess also that's the answer to the if you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to fear brigade, because, you know, people who have got nothing to hide in that, you know, they're not doing anything that they shouldn't be doing, suddenly have their personal addresses published and potentially other information published. And that can give rise to harm. You know, so some of those people may not be popular in some quarters and, you know, superstars and all the rest of it suddenly have their home addresses published.
So, it's a worry for anyone. And I wonder what data breaches we might be looking at in 2020 still to come, because you know there are bound to be some. Now, the singularity, this is the fascinating bit. This is the point at which our abilities merge with those of artificial intelligence. And then artificial intelligence supposedly surpasses us from that point. Every year around this time, various websites and experts speculate on when we might hit the singularity. Where do you think we're at on that path?
Well, it's very, very difficult to say. But, I mean, the likes of Ray Kurzweil, who actually coined the phrase the singularity. And Ray Kurzweil is... His title is currently chief engineer at Google, but he's become what they call a futurologist. Before that, he was the Kurzweil who invented synthesizers back in the 80s, so he's quite a versatile chap. But he's been in this field for a long time, and I think his view is that, you know, 25 to 30 years. And what we're talking about, imagine a couple of curves, okay? So you think about human intelligence. Human intelligence doesn't really change from generation to generation. It may change, you know, in terms of normal natural evolution over a period of millions of years, if at all. Whereas machine intelligence, every generation is somewhat smarter and faster than the previous generation. And so we have two curves. We've got the human curve, which is effectively flat. And then we've got the machine intelligence, which currently is below our level in some very important aspects, but that we think, instead of being a flat line, will be an exponential curve. That's to say, something that starts off looking quite flat, slowly starts to rise and eventually becomes almost vertical. And what that means is that, so the singularity is where essentially where those two lines cross, where their intelligence is of an order of our intelligence. But what's really interesting is not just that they match us at that point, but at that point they're on that bit of the curve that's heading up almost infinitely, that in a very short period of time, and in fact literally one day, it will become infinitely intelligent to the point where we will not understand how their minds work. It was not like we will have programmed that intelligence. That intelligence will have evolved through the generations, but each of their generations will take microseconds, whereas ours, you know, continue to take 25 years or so. And that's a scary thing about what sort of world we'll be in if and when that happens.
Now, the problem is, isn't it, calling this thing and say, and being able to delineate where we are on that road. I mean, an unnamed, please put your name on your text, but thank you for this one. An unnamed texter said, I thought we'd already surpassed humans when the last, you know, human beat a computer at chess or vice versa. And wasn't there a, it was the game of Go. It wasn't chess, was it? It was the game of Go.
Yeah, it was chess, and then it was obviously Go. So, Go is quite interesting. So Go is the Chinese game with the black and white counters. And unlike chess, the permutations and combinations are so huge as to be more than the number of atoms in the universe. So a computer program cannot, number crunch it and do a brute force solution. That's to say, work out every possible ending from any particular point in the game to reach the best. So the computer, when it was playing Go, had to develop, in effect, intuition. It had to have a feel for the game. It couldn't prove that certain moves were correct, but it would develop experience and use that experience in a very similar way to human beings. Now, the reason why that doesn't represent the singularity is because that's a very specific problem. It's a complicated one, but it's not what they call general machine intelligence. So general intelligence is where you can solve all manner of problems, just like human beings can put their mind to any pretty much any type of problems that they can frame, they can consider and potentially solve. Whereas a machine, yeah, you know, you've been able to get a machine, you know, for £5, you know, since the 1980s that could beat most of us at chess consistently. But, you know, ask it to rearrange your pantry and it's stuck. So the singularity is a different type of intelligence. That's a general intelligence, much more akin to human beings. And it's a sort of intelligence that would pass a Turing test, where you could be speaking to an entity over, say, a computer link, and you can't tell that entity is not human.
Right.
It will converse intelligently and pass itself off as human. Because at that point, it is almost by definition intelligent. If you can't over time tell the difference. At the moment, computers do a good job of that, but you get two or three questions in and you realize that it doesn't really understand what it's saying. It's just parroting phrases and putting back to you what you said to it. So that's the difference. The singularity means a general intelligence.
Right. And those who predicted 4 years ago, and I saw the same article 3 years ago and 2 years ago, and an article saying something similar appeared this week and then appears to have vanished. But the prediction was that we are 3 decades away from the singularity. You're saying that it's not really possible to make that kind of, you know, straight, flat-out prediction.
Yeah, because the line, this curve is more or less flat until it starts rising at some point and it goes up immensely. So it's really hard to know, because what's happening is that the generations of computer will go from, you know, at the moment we get a new Intel processor about once a year, but you can imagine that sort of gestation period, and I use the term advisedly, because effectively when computers are recreating themselves, albeit smarter versions of themselves, that's arguably reproduction, and you have to start thinking about whether these things fulfill the basic criteria of life, you know, things like sentience, awareness, and the ability to reproduce.
So, will it come in your lifetime and my lifetime?
It may well do. The difficulty is, it's not just a question of, oh, every year the processor doubles in speed, or every 18 months or whatever it is, you know, Moore's law. It's because it will require certain leaps of technology. You can't keep pushing silicon technology, you know, much further. So new technologies will have to be invented, and those technologies will in time have to be invented by the technology. It will have to invent new technologies itself. So it's hard to predict what they will be and where they will be. It's a bit like, imagine we're in the days of the horse-drawn carriage. So at the moment, we're in the phase of, finding out that if we feed horses better, they can pull the cart faster. And maybe if we use a different type of wood, it may go faster. But no one's yet invented the petrol engine or the jet engine. And in a similar way, you know, we've got other inventions that need to be made. it's very interesting, by the way. There's been a couple of examples in recent weeks of attempts to register patents in the names of artificial intelligence entities. In other words, the AIs invented things that were patentable. But the EU, for example, has just said that actually AI is property and property cannot own property. Because
I wonder if in the future that's going to change. That's a fascinating point to park it, Fevzi. And that is, I haven't seen that story. That's a great story. We'll see what happens about that. So far, artificial intelligence cannot be said to germinate and create patentable things. Maybe that is going to change once they become as clever as we are.
Yeah, they do create them, but we don't recognize it. I liken it to slavery. Slaves used to be considered to be property and they couldn't own things.
So there will come a time when you think the computers are emancipated?
Yes.
Wow.
Emancipate themselves.
Fevzi, thank you for that. Fevzi Turkamp, the gadget detective, always helps us out here. Check him out online if you have a tech question, whatever. You can always get in touch with Fevzi. And he will give you the benefit of his advice. If your computer or driver's stuck, if you have a problem with, antivirus or password management, Fevzi is a great source of all those things, the gadget detective. This is the News Hour of the Unexplained, only on Talk Radio.